The truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, who calls us to holiness. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, on my first Sunday here without Victoria, we had a wardrobe malfunction, remember? And my shoelaces came undone and we were all concerned. Last week, I forgot to turn on the microphone. So this being the third week, we hope there's no more wardrobe malfunctions. But being, it seems, prone to having things happen, I will begin by telling you about another one. About 25 years ago, I slipped on the ice on the back porch. I landed on the edge of the top step and hurt my back. Gradually, over the days and weeks, I lost strength in my back and my legs. It became very difficult for me to walk upright, and I needed a chair to sit on for preaching. I was at St. Matthias Church at the time, and they called it the preaching stool. The preaching perch. But one foot then began to drop, and I started tripping quite often. I worried that very soon I would need a wheelchair. So I was sent to the neuro gym for 3 months of intensive treatment. Excuse me. After the treatment, I stood and I walked upright with manageable pain, great improvement with the drop foot tripping, and a wonderful sense of well-being. This healing, as you can imagine, this healing changed my life. I can imagine the depth of misery this Jewish woman in our text had been suffering for 18 years. Her poor bent back would have affected every aspect of her life with physical pain and disability and alienation from her community because of the presumed sin which was considered to have caused her situation. Poverty and fear for her future and humiliation were her constant companions. She could not even lift her head to see danger on her path. The encounter with Jesus and the woman in our text, this woman, took place on a Sabbath, a day traditionally and legally reserved for rest and worship. The woman made her way to join her community at the synagogue to pray and to learn more about her Jewish faith. This particular day, though, Jesus was there, and he was teaching, and he noticed her. He called her to himself, and immediately he healed her. Her back became straight and strong. Her response? Immediately, she praised God. Now we have to remember, this happened on the Sabbath. So our text today demonstrates Jesus' compassion. It demonstrates his authority to heal, even on the Sabbath. And it contrasts the legalistic interpretations of the Jewish law with Jesus' genuine love and mercy. We know from the gospel texts that we've heard over the last few weeks that Jesus was teaching about life in the realm of God, new life, new ways to understand the Jewish law based on God's command to love. Jesus taught that love is the fulfilling of the law. But instead of rejoicing with the woman, the synagogue leader wanted to tarnish her joy and the celebration of her healing. Also, he wanted to remove other people's opportunities for healing on the Sabbath. By doing so, he, the synagogue leader, he is altering the purpose of the Sabbath and removing another person's dignity. We know that it's very difficult indeed to leave behind old ways and to test and possibly embrace new ways. For instance, I don't know, but are any of you old enough to remember when women were definitely not invited to the Governor General's annual New Year's Day levee? Anybody remember that? Well, I think I'm the oldest one here because I remember it clearly. I remember. And I remember also when women were finally invited and what an outcry ensued. It was a whole new situation, but nothing bad happened. It took time, it took effort and trust, and now everybody is invited and we are all represented. Jesus, as we remember, did lots of new things. In this text, Jesus freely healed this woman, even though it was the Sabbath. And he did this because it was more important to end her suffering immediately than it was to observe the law as it was being taught by the synagogue teachers. This act of healing, though compassionate, sparked conflict with the synagogue leader. And that leader and others in the synagogue hierarchy considered strict adherence to the Sabbath law to be more important than the well-being of a suffering person. Now, by this time in Jesus' ministry, he was gaining popularity with the crowds. We are told they were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. But the Jewish leaders had turned against him. They seemed to be afraid of any change. Perhaps they wondered whether they might become irrelevant. They could not grasp Jesus' new teachings. They clung to the old ways and refused to consider any new interpretation of the law. They tried to send the crowd away. They tried to diminish the joy and celebration of the woman being healed by telling her it was the wrong day, it was the wrong time. She was wrong. All the while, Jesus was ministering to build up the faithful. This synagogue leader himself needed to be healed of his determination to cling to attitudes and teachings that did not promote health and wholeness in his community. Walter Brueggemann wrote about Jesus' compassion, and he said, "The compassion of Jesus is meant to be understood as a public criticism in which he acts upon his concerns. Jesus healed on the Sabbath because he saw a woman in need of healing and because he saw a religious institution in need of healing." Perhaps this is another example of the word hypocrite that we've heard now for 2 weeks in a row from Jesus. Perhaps in this usage, it's Jesus uttering a sigh of distress in his role as prophet, rather than it being a judgment of a person. but healing on the Sabbath, as we keep hearing, it was a major problem. And isn't it sad that the synagogue leader considered being part of God's healing as work, and therefore to be avoided? He tells the woman who has received this wonderful gift of healing that she and anyone else longing for healing on the Sabbath are wrong. The synagogue leader saw her need as a nuisance for himself rather than a calling to a healing ministry. If the synagogue leader had received Jesus as the woman did, he too might have been healed. But the synagogue leader had set limits on the woman's well-being that are more like the bondage of her suffering than the purpose of God's Sabbath. Even though Jesus' teaching had become dangerous for him and he knew time was running out, he responded immediately to the Jewish leaders. Again, we hear this shocking word. Jesus cries out, "You hypocrites, why would they not see the truth?" They could, and they did, lead their donkeys to water on the Sabbath. Surely then it was equally legal to free a person from great suffering on the Sabbath. The leaders were humiliated, and they plotted in earnest by this time against Jesus. But the crowds were catching on. They were delighted with Jesus. We know from our reading of Luke's gospel that Luke is concentrating on ways to build up the fledgling Christian communities that he has founded. And not just his own communities, but all the communities of faith in the living God. Through the writings of Luke, Jesus offers us new life, a gift freely given to all people. We, the people of the crowd, we are in need of healing. God, who made the Sabbath for restoration, puts the law of love into action. In our Eucharist, we offer thanks to God as we joyfully celebrate and proclaim Jesus' establishment of the new realm of love. We are growing in our understanding and acceptance of the power of God's gifts and the freedom they bring. This good news can never be denied and can never be thwarted. Thanks be to God. Amen.